our sister Amy, and today we are glad that besides her, Kelly, and also Amy's husband, Brother Floyd, is here to share the God's message. So, I also welcome Victor coming back with us. So, Victor, thank you. We love you, Victor. Okay, so Brother Floyd, please come to proclaim God's word.
Thank you, Pastor Ming. Thank you so much. It's a privilege for us to be here on your church's Missions Month, and hopefully I would be able to share about the Ministry of Compassion on how we can do missions without actually having to go overseas and be part of building God's kingdom here on earth. Again, my name is Floyd Esperas, which is a Spanish last name. I was born and raised in the Philippines to Chinese parents. So when I was 29 years old, I married my wife, Amy, and in that same year, I immigrated to Canada. We have two children. Next slide, please. Alyssa and John, who are both in university. And here's a photo from a year ago when my family visited three of our sponsored children. That would be Lily, Tengmu, and Ikawin. So, again, it's a wonderful privilege to be able to speak to you today. And my prayer is that my story and God's word will speak to all of us. Three things I want to speak about with you today. First, I want to share how God changed the way I have my worldview and treasure material possessions. Then we will look at portions of scripture of how God used those to speak to me and actually change me and continue to change me. And finally, I will share with you the ministry of compassion. So a little bit of history. Again, I was born in the Philippines. My mother was a Christian. So from a very young age, as far as I can remember, I was going to church every Sunday. So I learned everything knowledge-wise about the Bible. I understood the gospel message. I can recite the books of the Bible from Genesis to even today to Revelation in Chinese, in Fukien though, not in... Anyone speak Fukien here? No? Ah, there you go. And but I grew up in the poorer economic class of the Chinese diaspora community in the city where I live. So I was always comparing myself to all the other Chinese diaspora families, right? There were obviously, when I look back, more people who were poorer than me. But I'm always just focusing on myself. I'm always like saying, why am I poorer? Because I'm always comparing to people who have a lot more, right? So when we got married in 1994, I moved to Toronto. Now, you know, this is, you can say that I kind of won the lottery. Most people, the majority of Filipinos wants to immigrate out of the Philippines to Australia, the United States, Canada, to have a better life. And what does a better life actually mean? That it only meant one thing for most of us, including me. It means to become better financially. Okay. So I started like most immigrants when I came here, you know, work at any job, keep moving up, having better work opportunities. As my income got bigger and bigger, the focus was always, how can I have more? How can I enjoy it for me, for myself? I had a pastime of, even though my wife and I both have a house, we had a pastime of driving to look at bigger houses during the weekends. Maybe I can have that, even though now I realize I don't really need it. And so that was my view. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God does not want me to measure success by the standards of this world. God wants me to know He has something better for me. What He has planned for me is so much more, immeasurably more compared to what the world's success has to offer. So in God's grace and mercy, He started to show me a different way of living, to have a living with an abundant life. He started to show me His heart and His compassion for the needy. The first time I was exposed to the reality that there are people more needy than me was about 20 years ago. I was invited to join a church group to serve at a homeless dinner. You know, my new impression of Canada was like, there's actually homeless people in Canada. It's a really wealthy country. But that was a start, and year after year I went, serving together with my wife and my two children who were really young then, and I started to learn about people who live with so much less. I got to know Christians who work and serve those in most need. So that was 20 years ago. Then about 11, 12 years ago, my daughter Alyssa read an article about compassion in a Christian magazine asking for people to sponsor a child. At 12 years old, my daughter, who's there in that picture, that's about the age when she was at that time, she said, "Dad and Mom, instead of having a Christmas gift, can I have a sister?" But what she meant was, "Will you sponsor a child so that I can have a sister?" My daughter is very persistent, so we did, after she kept asking and asking, right? That was the first time I heard about compassion, let alone about child sponsorship. But even as we did, I was skeptical. You know, I'm from the Philippines, where there's widespread corruption. I was asking, I said, how do I know if the money I am giving to this Christian charity is really going to help the child? Is this a scam? Things like that. That was my honest thinking, right? Well, we had an opportunity to actually find out, because a year after sponsoring that child, my wife and I decided that it's kind of time, my daughter at that time was 12, my son was 9, and say, we should bring them back. They were both born here. We should bring them back to the Philippines and visit. So we did. And the Compassion works in 25 countries. The child we happened to sponsor is from the Philippines, where we were from. So we asked Compassion if we can visit Florian Lynn, and they said yes. You know, every sponsor of a child can go and visit the child, their family, and the center that, and the church that actually takes care of these children. So we did, and so we visited Florian Lynn, next slide please, and her family, and that's a picture we had with their family and Compassion staff there. We visited the local church, next slide. That's actually the center, which is part of the church, and there's one more slide over next, and that's actually with a lot of the church members who are actually volunteers. Compassion actually partners with churches to serve the children, so your sponsorship dollar goes a lot further because of the involvement of the church. So in talking with the Compassion staff, I learned so much more about the ministry of Compassion. And here's what we found out, that the gospel of Jesus was at the core of everything that they do. Yes, they feed the children, they give them education, but the most important thing for them is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. My initial skepticism actually vanished because I saw firsthand with my eyes, right? I got to spend time with the staff, with the pastor, and actually found out exactly what they do. In fact, I was so convinced that during that same trip, we sponsored Rochelle an older compassion child who was just starting university. Next slide. And you will see that Rochelle is the young lady on the right of the photo there. Today, my family sponsors over a dozen children. Can we have the next slide, please? Yep. And so if you can do math, it actually takes a lot for us to sponsor this many children. Yes, it takes sacrifice and giving up a lot of things for myself and giving it for the kingdom of God. But more importantly, we have learned through this process of sponsoring children about what God teaches about poverty and his heart for the poor. Our passage today is from Mark chapter 10, which was already read. Most of you would be familiar with the story usually referred to as the story of the rich young ruler. In most headings in the Bible, it would say the rich and the kingdom of God. As I mentioned before, I grew up in church. I always wanted to follow Jesus, but there's a big part of me that always focused on myself. My priority was, how can God bless me so I can enjoy it for myself? You know, a lot of the prayer is about asking God to do something for me. I see a lot of people nodding their heads. I still do. But, you know, we have to refocus. But God has other plans. Through Scripture, he showed me his heart of compassion. We can see throughout the Bible and that this is God's heart. But before we dive into the text this morning, let's look at two portions of the Bible showing this about God's compassion for the poor and needy. So in the Old Testament, Leviticus 23, he commanded, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God." And Jesus in Matthew 25, he said this, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison and visited you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." You know, this scripture passages really spoke to me. I describe myself as really hardworking, but part of this hardworking characteristic also comes a pride that God was trying to correct. You see, there was a time I truly believed that people are poor because they are lazy. You know, they get what they deserve because they are lazy and I should not help them. If only they work hard, they would not be poor. But, you know, in the verses we just read, God is telling me otherwise. He's telling me, when you see someone who's hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them a drink. If they need shelter, give them shelter. If they are in need, help them. You know, Jesus' only goal when he came to earth was to die on the cross and save us. So if he thought like how I think, then he wouldn't have feed the 5,000, so many events about Jesus feeding, you know, crowds of people. He wouldn't have healed the sick. How many times most of Jesus' stories were about healing the sick. Jesus was the greatest teacher. He was teaching, educating, right? So he came to save us, but he did everything else. And if we are to follow Jesus, that's what I believe I need to do too. So there's a struggle in my heart, right? On one hand, I want to follow Jesus. On the other hand, he's asking me to, you know, help the poor. And I'm like, you know, I still think that it's because they deserve it. It's because they're lazy. So let's go into our passage for today, Mark chapter 10, which was already read for us. Now, because I have been going to church from a very young age, if we can go to the next slide. You know this part that said when Jesus actually answered the rich young ruler and said, "You shall not, you know the commandments, you shall not murder, and all these other commandments that's listed there." When the rich young ruler said, "Teacher, all this I have kept since I was a boy," I kind of said, "Yeah, I agree with that because, you know, I've been going to church, I've been obedient, I've been following all these commandments." But in as we read on, Jesus continued and said to this man, he said, "Wait 1 minute, wait a minute. One thing you lack. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." So, you know, immediately my mind on the several occasions that I'm reading this passage, it's like, that doesn't apply to me. Right? Only the verses that benefit me applies to me. This one doesn't. In fact, I read on and it says, "At this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth." Oh, of course it doesn't apply to me because what was I thinking? I'm always thinking that I never look at the poor people, but I look at people who have more than me and say, "Hey, I'm poor." That's only Jesus' message for those who have more. And to be honest with you, I'm pretty sure I have been at church when this passage was read, and immediately my mind think to the guy we know at church who is probably the wealthiest guy that we know of and say, probably talking to him. Oh, so Jesus is right. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. You know, thank God for his patience with me. You see, in all these years, I have denied myself in following Jesus because I refuse to identify with the rich young ruler. But Jesus keeps inviting me. You know, in that whole passage, if you keep reading on, in verse 21, Jesus said, "If you truly follow me and do follow this conversation," he said, "you will have treasure in heaven." And also, when we actually say, "Jesus, what you are telling me is impossible for me to do," his answer in verse 27 says, "With you, it is impossible, but all things are possible with God." You know, by God's grace, he really transformed me. I realized that I am one of the most blessed people in the world. We are one of the most blessed people in the world. We live in Canada, where there's free healthcare. We live in safety. We can open the tap water and drink it without worrying, you know, ever getting sick. If you earn minimum wage in Toronto, you are on the top 2% of the wealthiest people in the world. And you know what? For us to be here, to be Christians in a community of Christians, to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are even more blessed to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the question really is, what is my possession that I hold on to that is stopping me from fully following Jesus? Remember Jesus said, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Now, we're going to pause here, and then we have a 3-minute video that I'm going to show. So, give it. So while they're doing that, while they're doing the audio for that, let me just tell you a little bit more about compassion, okay? So we do work in 25 countries, and, okay. Can we just restart from the beginning? Yeah, thank you. So to that question, what is my possession that I hold onto that is stopping me from fully following Jesus? For me and my family, one of the ways we respond to Jesus is by sponsoring children through compassion. It's a Christ-centered ministry that works in 25 countries. We deliver our programs only through partnerships with churches. We have 7,000 church partners around the world. I want to highlight just three things about Compassion's ministry. The next slide, please. We are Christ-centered, so everything we do, giving education, food, medical help, everything is centered about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are church-based, so next slide. Our programs, again, are run exclusively by local churches, church partners. We are child-focused. All the resources that are is focused on developing the child. So we enroll a child and follow them until they become adults. We focus on providing all children in four different areas of development: education, physical, emotional, and spiritual development. This development model is based on Luke 2:52 about Jesus when he was a child. And Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with man. You know, my family's oldest child, Rochelle, who I mentioned earlier that we sponsored, grew up in the slums in the Philippines. She graduated from Compassion's program 4 years ago and is now a school teacher. But more importantly, today she's a youth leader at church and she's a Sunday school teacher. I invite you to partner with Compassion by sponsoring a child today. Now, we were here 2 years ago. Who sponsors a child with Compassion here? Okay. And who among you, it's the first time that you've heard of Compassion, or you've heard it but really don't know much about Compassion? Okay, thank you. If you already sponsor with Compassion, would you consider sponsoring another child? And if this is the first time or you know very little about Compassion, please come to the table and, you know, we're here to answer any questions you may have. I know some of you may be like me. When I first heard of Compassion, I was a skeptic, right? And I'm here to share with you that this is God's work through the ministry to children, to people living in extreme poverty, and this is what we find, how God wants to share his good news with them, and through the ministry of Compassion, you can partner with us to do that. Thank you so much, Pastor Ming, for allowing me to share this ministry this morning. Thank you, church. Thank you.